Good afternoon, and may the Lord give you his peace. This is Father Stosh Daily on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio with your daily message of hope. As we consider the end of the day, the end of the workday anyway, and heading into the evening, perhaps we're heading home, or maybe going into work, or running errands, stopping by the grocery store, whatever the case may be. As we're continuing on with our day, the Church invites us today to call to mind the presence of the holy angels. Today, I would like to very much spend these few moments with you at the end of the hour considering the presence of one particular choir of angels, the cherubim. You know, oftentimes we don't take full stock of the importance of the angels in our lives. But when we learn a little bit about what the words mean that we use to describe the different choirs of angels, it helps us to appreciate their role, their example, and to take to heart how we can grow closer to the Lord. Of course, there are 9 choirs of angels, right? The seraphim, the cherubim, the thrones, the dominations, the virtues, and the powers. Principalities, archangels, and angels. I'm sure there will be a test on that somewhere, someday, given by someone. But if we consider those different 9 choirs of angels, there's something to be learned about each of the 9 choirs. Today, let's spend a few moments learning about the cherubim so that the Lord can fill our hearts with hope and with peace. Let's first begin by calling to mind that the cherubim, or the cherubs, they're not those weird little chubby, extremely pale white magnets hanging on the refrigerator. Those things are weird and bizarre. No, the cherubim are mighty angelic species. The word cherub, cherubim is the Hebrew masculine plural, so the word cherub is a word borrowed from the Assyrian kirubu, which means to be near. Therefore, the very word cherub is a word that's defined by to be near. The cherubim angels are those who are near the Lord, like a personal servant or bodyguard. So when we think of the cherubim, they are closer to God than they are to us in their how they relate and how they're intimate. They're very near the Lord. It was commonly used of those heavenly spirits who closely surrounded the majesty of God and paid him intimate service. It came to mean as much as an angelic spirit. The cherubim have an intimate knowledge of God and continually worship and praise him. As if you could say there's time in heaven, we would say day and night. Without ceasing, they praise the Lord. The cherubim are first mentioned in sacred scripture in the Holy Bible in Genesis 3, verse 24. Quote, after he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. End quote. Prior to his rebellion, Satan was a cherub, according to Ezekiel chapter 28, 12 to 15. The tabernacle and temple, along with their articles, contain many representations of the cherubim. We can go into Exodus 25 or 1 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles again, and Hebrews. In these different works and books from sacred scripture, we hear about the representation of the cherubim. And that's an important note, right? Because as Catholic Christians, oftentimes we are put to the query. We're put under questions about why do we have statues? Statues are forbidden. Well, actually, they're not forbidden. Idols are forbidden. Now, someone can make or turn a statue of Jesus or a statue of Mary or the statue of an angel. Someone can make that into an idol if they actually start worshiping the statue, but that would be irrational, illogical. But the idea of having representations or holy images, that's not forbidden by the commandments. Having idols is forbidden, not having representations or images. Because in sacred scripture itself, it calls to mind how there are representations of the cherubim, figures, statues of the angels in the temple. Once again, you can go to Exodus chapter 25 or Exodus chapter 31, 1 Kings chapter 6 or chapter 7 or chapter 8 in 1 Kings. Or you can go to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. You can go to 2 Chronicles chapter 3 or 2 Chronicles chapter 3 verse 10 to 13 again, or even the Hebrews. We read in chapters 1 and 10 of the book of Ezekiel how the cherubim are described. Each are said to have 4 faces, that of a man, a lion, an ox, and an eagle. That should sound somewhat familiar because those are the four depictions of the four evangelists. Ezekiel describes the cherubim of having four faces. Also, the cherubim possess the torso and hands of a man, the feet of a calf, and have four wings. Two wings extended upward and meet above the cherubim, and in doing so, hold up the throne of God. The other two wings are extended down and actually cover the cherub's body. Their whole body and their backs and their hands and their wings are full of eyes round about, showing that they never cease to glorify God by seeing what is before them. Keep in mind, like, you know how hard it is to keep your eyes open when you're really tired. But when you're filled with energy and zeal, your eyes are wide open. You're wide awake. The angels are wide awake before God. They see and glorify that which they see, the one whom they see. Ezekiel's vision of God's glory described as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man high above it. This is the likeness of the glory of God. One of the reasons why Jesus called the Son of Man. The dazzling light of the Lord's presence rose up from the creatures and moved to the entrance of the temple. Ezekiel, the holy prophet Ezekiel, gives us so much description as to how we may relate to the cherubim. Cherubs and cherubim are most frequently referred to in the sacred scriptures, the Holy Bible, to designate sculptured, engraved, and embroidered figures used in the furniture and the ornamentation of the Jewish sanctuary. The angels who worship in heaven were put into actual statue form in the temple in Jerusalem, so as to remind the people of how to pray, how to adore the Lord always, and that our practice and prayer now on earth is to prepare us for how we will glorify and love the Lord forever in heaven. One of the reasons why we consider the angels is to learn how best to pray, how best to love the Lord. So if we feel far from Jesus in our hearts, or if in our minds we know there are sins that prevent us from just drawing close to the Lord, we ask the Lord for the grace to become detached from those sins, detached from those memories. But we may also ask for the intercession of the holy angels. Teach us how to draw close to the Lord. Teach us how to be vigilant before the Lord, how to adore the Lord. If we struggle to pray or be in the presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, let us ask the cherubim to pray on our behalf. They are always vigilant before the living God in heaven. We have God before us in the Holy Eucharist in the tabernacle. Ask the cherubim to intercede on our behalf. In Genesis, two cherubim were placed by God at the entrance of paradise. Also in 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles, we hear Solomon placed in the Holy of Holies two huge cherubim of olive wood, overlaid with gold. They stood on their feet and their faces were towards the house, which probably means they faced the holy place or the entrance, the Holy of Holies. It's important for us when we walk into our churches that when we see a statue of an angel or a statue of Our Lady or of the Lord Himself, that we not be put off by that. But we realize how even in the temple in Jerusalem, King Solomon had erected statues of the angels, so that they would remind us how to pray, how to direct our hearts towards the living God in heaven. Cherubim were also embroidered on the veil of the tabernacle, separating the holy place from the Holy of Holies. With blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen, they were made. How many such cherubim were embroidered on the parakeet, or veil, we do not know, in the temple. It is often supposed that as this veil screened the Holy of Holies, two large-sized figures to represent the guardian spirits or keepers, or the angels, were depicted, according to Exodus. We are warned in Colossians chapter 2, 18, not to worship angels. Let no man defraud your reward by delighting in false humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his freshly minded. St. Paul reminds us in his letter to the Colossians. So let us keep in mind, the angels are not meant to be worshipped or adored, but they may be respected and venerated because they are meant to help us get to heaven. Remember, St. Thomas Aquinas divides all of the angels into three hierarchies, each of which contains three orders of angels. Their proximity to God serves as the basis of this division. In the first hierarchy, he places the seraphim, cherubim, and thrones. We've learned a little bit more about the cherubim today. We've learned how they have their name cherub because they are near the Lord, near to Him, and they serve the Lord. They serve the Lord. May we learn from the cherubim how to best serve the Lord, not somewhere else doing something else, but may we learn from the angels how to serve the Lord right where we are, right now. We are called to make holy wherever we are, whatever we are doing, with whomever we may be. Because this present moment is the gift. This present moment right now is a gift from the Lord. And may the Lord, who has called us into life and given us this present moment, may He give us His grace so that we are truly alive. And regardless of what burdens or joys we may have within, may we serve the Lord. May we be near the Lord. And may we reflect His beauty, His dignity, His presence, His majesty, His love to those who are very near us. God lives. We are each called to be a witness to the resurrection, a witness to the Lord. We are then supposed to be like the angels. We can't be the angels, but we can be like them, being near the Lord and reflecting Him to others. May we open our minds and our hearts to the Lord's peace, to His joy, to His hope, that virtue of hope that leads us back to Him. And may the Lord plant all of these deep within our minds and our hearts so that we may cooperate with Him in bringing all of humanity back to the living God. May the Lord give you His peace.